given in any given situation.
It would take more personnel, in your judgment, if the rules were to be relaxed then.
Oh, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
The reporter has a thing in his paper.
Mr. Wilbanks, have you questions?
Yes. I have a couple of questions, and I want to try to determine, if I can, why you feel as I think you do on a couple of subjects. One, I know a lot of officers bring up again and again the idea of not being backed. And you indicated that when you were in HBZ, you felt like that in many cases you would write reports of misconduct and nothing resulted. I want to probe this a little bit. I want to find out why you believe this. Let me amplify my question a little bit. The Adjustment Committee, of course, is, I suppose, the one now that handles this kind of violation. There are people who work in the institution, both officers and civilian personnel. What I wanted to try to determine is this. Why you feel like they don't back you in the way that you think you should be backed? For example, are they more liberal? Is it a disagreement on policy or on the facts? Or do they not understand your problem? Or is it pressure from above? Why do you feel, since this is a very important grievance, that they do not back you? What is your interpretation of this?
Well, the action that the policy committee takes, in many cases, they when you write a report out, in the past when you wrote a report out, a man would receive a sentence of 5 days in a cell or something of this nature. Now they give a lot more warnings. Now I have asked that and suggested that since we do have a new system, and it does, and the officers are frustrated by it, that the officers should be educated to this new system a little more than they are. Now the department has done some educating along these lines, but not enough. So in other words, if I'm a reporting officer, it'd be nice if I knew what the committee decided, at least. But I write a report out, and that's the last I hear of it.
So the major, in this very common grievance among officers, one of the main faults you see is a lack of communication.
Yes, a lack of understanding of just exactly what's going on.
Are there efforts, are there meetings between line officers and people who serve on this committee and the warden and all the way up to Mr. Oswald, all the way up the level, up the ladder and down? Is there a problem in communications and why each group believes what they do?
Yes, there's no doubt of that. Communications is one of our biggest problems as far as the correction officer is concerned right now.
Are there efforts being made to...
Well, I hope so.
A second question along a similar line. You didn't mention this specifically. Mr. Cochran did, and perhaps I should have at that time asked him, but I think you probably feel the same way. Let me determine that. He spoke about bad press. In general, would you agree with that statement?
Well, I'm amazed with the press, personally.
Yeah.
Because when they first came to Attica, several of us talked to the press, and when we later heard our statements, supposed statements, or saw the write-up in the paper, they were entirely different from what we had said or intended.
My question really about this is why you feel that this occurs. For example, is it because they don't come and check with you about a particular charge? Is it because they have a certain viewpoint? Why do you? I'm not asking the facts. I know that, but why do you feel? What is the feeling of officers as to why this
type of
thing
occurs? Well, we're a little confused. Whether it may be sensationalism to sell papers. It may be any one of a number of things. It may be what they think that paper wants to hear, or what society wants to hear. How many papers are they going to sell?
Well, for example, at HBZ, if there was a charge that an inmate during the time that you were there was beaten, and perhaps, let's say this for hypothetically, your name was mentioned. Mm-hmm. If a reporter came to the gate at Attica and said, I have a charge against a particular officer and I'd like to investigate it, would he be allowed to come and speak to you? And if so, would you be allowed to respond to him?
I believe that you would be able to give the press your views On any given instance, yes.
He would be allowed to enter the institution? And
I don't know whether that wouldn't be my determination.
Mm.
Yeah, I suppose it would depend on the particular case, how serious or...
But if he came, you would feel no hesitation in responding is the best manner you felt?
No, possible. I wouldn't, no.
That's all.
Mr. Carter?
Mr. Gooley, I want to ask several questions. In talking to inmates, both... two appeared here yesterday, and in interviewing them out away from here, we've heard that racial discrimination exists at Attica in terms of that it's better to be white. You get preferential treatment if you're a white inmate. Sergeant Cochran this morning indicated that there was no prejudice by officers in their relationships with inmates. I'd like your comment on that.
Well, as Sergeant Cochran told you, that to display anything of this nature would be a deterrent to doing your job and make it more difficult for you. Certainly, people have their own feelings. And while possibly if a person does have racial feelings, even though he is not bringing these forth or using these in a particular decision, possibly can be felt by these individuals. And so I suppose it is a problem, especially if you're a black man and you feel very strongly that you're being discriminated against, even though this man, the officer, the particular officer in a given case, might not really be discriminating against you. You may feel his feelings.
Or he may not feel he's discriminating against you.
Or he may not feel it.
But he is, in fact.
It's possible, certainly.
Well, all right. Do you believe that the being a correction officer has a tendency to increase arbitrariness? In other words, you're dealing with people who have little say and have little redress. If you deal with them outside of, away from the public, they have no redress, do they?
No. Well, they do, but it's, I understand what you mean. Many of the officers, because of this case, because of this particular instance where this is true that they do not have any recourse, many of the officers bend over backwards because of this. And I suppose it would go the other way, too, that if certain individuals are given authority that they're not haven't experienced in the past, perhaps they are a little more vigorous than they should be. But generally, I suppose it would be a split down the middle. In many cases, the officer would be more sensitive to it. In other cases, no.
I think that you said about HBZ Block that these men... were screaming all night and nobody or nothing or nobody to stop them. How would they be stopped?
I don't know. I suppose you would write up reports. there isn't any physical way to stop them, no. But what these inmates are doing, screaming all night, are disturbing patients in the hospital.
I understand that.
I suppose that if this was explained to them, maybe they would hold it down, but I don't think they will.
I see.
Not these particular people. And there are other inmates, not all the inmates in HBZ are screaming. Other inmates are sitting there, laying there, trying to sleep and being disturbed all night long.
Yes. I was trying to understand the comment that you made about their screaming and nobody to stop them.
That's a problem in the hospital where I work.
I see. Now, I'd like to probe one other area. You and, I think, Sergeant Cochran had the same idea that the system is doing as much as it can to rehabilitate these people. And I really want to understand what you mean by that.
I didn't say that the system was doing everything it can to rehabilitate them. I said that the institution, there are many more things that could be done, but we need more funds, more resources.
I'm interested in that because I want to find out what you are doing in fact. And I want you to understand that these questions I'm about to ask you are not intended to be hostile in any event, but I really want to know some of the facts. You are you were white from a rural area, I gather, in New York.
No, I'm from Oswego. That's a city of about 25,000, I guess.
Okay, fine. From 25,000 people in New York. And let me use the you not as you personally, but as you generally.
Mm-hmm.
The officers that are with you are generally of your class and background, aren't they, at Attica?
Pretty much so, yes.
What do you know about black experience? What does black experience? What training have you had in terms of insights into black experience in this country? What it feels like to be black?
Well, obviously, I haven't had any training as to what it feels like to be black.
What do you know about black psyche and how it how the black experience has affected black people?
Only what I read and what I observe.
Is there anyone that you do know up there who does have any insights into this?
Well, we have as many insights into this as we do as far as crime itself is concerned.
You think that
we don't have too many criminals that work up in the institution, but we still have to deal with criminals.
Oh yes, but Mr. Gould, there are people who are experienced there who are criminologists, aren't they?
Certainly, they
know something about crime. What I'm interested in is a young black who comes to Attica. He's 19, 20 years old. He's hostile. He is rebelling against society. He feels that white institutions are, in fact, oppressive. He's enraged. Is there anyone that can deal with this kind of human being in order to, quote, rehabilitate him?
Only if he allows them to.
What do you mean by that?
Well, if obviously nobody's going to get next to this man unless he allows them to, whether he be a black man or a white man.
No, but we can't. The thing I'm really trying to at least ask is at least I think that there is a difference. Maybe I'm wrong. I think that there is a difference in terms of his being black and having a black experience and white officers than being a white man.
Yes, same difference that a farmer would have when he comes to Attica, or a big city man, or a rich man, or a poor man, or a black man, or a yellow man, or a white man.
Oh, you think that
they're all differences.
You think that you think you would equate them all the same?
Pardon me?
You would equate them all the same.
I don't think you could equate any of them all the same, no.
I see.
But they all are significant.
What would you do and you're getting, the reason I'm asking the question is you're getting increasingly, I understand, more blacks of the kind that I categorized.
Yes.
And more Puerto Ricans, more people who are not white, who are rebelling against the system, who feel alien. What does one do to, what is there at Attica to rehabilitate these people, to rehabilitate them, other than just be custodians for them until their time is up?
Well, you try to gain their confidence. Now, in gaining a man's confidence, then you talk to him. Now, I've talked with many of them.
What do you talk to them about?
About just general, average, everyday things. Now, what would you talk to a man about if you were trying to gain his confidence and trying to be friendly towards him?
Well, I don't know. I think that a man coming from the black ghetto, you'd have to...
Well, I've talked with young black men from the ghettos, and I've talked to them about some of the problems that they've had and are experiencing, and I've tried to help them too. I don't know how successful I've been.
I'm sure you've tried. What I'm trying to really probe is, what are the tools that are available really to get into really doing something for this man? I'm not as suggesting that
there's psychological tools.
Do you have them there?
Well, I am not an expert, no.
I mean, are there anything like that available there?
Well, with the training classes are not available, no. Not at this time.
Thank you.
I think that this is one of the things that is an imperative situation in the prison, that we should be able to deal with the different types of inmates on their own level a little better than we have been in the past.
Mrs. Wadsworth, have you questions?
Yes, I have. Ms. Goy, I'd like to direct my questions to the broad conceptual level of the correctional system as such, the broad, with not too much of the detail we've been doing lately. I assume that this is a great interest to you. You've given 14 years there. I assume that this is your life's work, that this is something, the whole thing, in which you are very interested. I'm assuming this. Since my part on the commission, I've heard a great deal about change of all kinds in the correction system. I hear about it a great deal, but I see more change in the people coming into the prisons than I do really in the system itself or in what's going on there. From your background, your 14 years, and your dedication and interest, do you think that there really are faults at this time, major faults in this system, or do you think that really we're doing about all we can based on, not funds and dollars, but do you think this is the system, and do you think there are major faults in it at this point?
Well, I think the system is pretty much of a failure. It's when you have as many inmates coming back from parole as we do, then there's going to have to be some changes. Right. We have to find the answer.
Then in your view, there are necessary changes. There
Absolutely.
Really are changes which are necessary. Changes must be made, and we can't, you know, keep talking and keep reporting, but there are changes, from your point of view, that need
yes,
to be made.
Yes, that's true.
If there are indeed changes, I've never seen any major conceptual changes that happen without someone caring a great deal. I'm looking for the publics, plural, who might be interested in change. The people involved seem to be inmates, inmate families, correctional officers and other, and supervisory administrative people at the local level. Perhaps the fourth group would be the, I'll call it Albany, the state at that level. And then lastly, the public in general. Those seem to me, as we've been talking this afternoon, five groups who might be interested. Of those five, and perhaps you can suggest others, who really cares enough to make any of these changes come through? Do you think any one of those groups or some other really cares enough? Most change comes because people are so involved and so motivated and so involved in the dictionary sense of being so in it that they can't get out without solving it. Do you see any groups that involved, anyone who cares enough to really change the system?
No. So one of the things that causes change is force. When you're forced to change something, it's also changed. I don't think any of the groups that you mentioned care as much as they should. Obviously, the closer you get to the situation, you'll find these people will be the people that care the most. And the further you step away from it, other things begin coming into the picture, like the legislators, how much, do I get any votes for doing this? Whereas if I put a railroad bridge in or a bridge over a river, a new road in, then I'll receive more votes this way than I would if I improve certain conditions in the institution. The public, probably the least interested, the furthest group away. The only time they're interested in it is if they have someone they know that's involved, an inmate or an employee, or some spectacular consequence that happens because of the institutions. But I think that I have to agree with you that there isn't enough, even an hour, even as the employees, the correction officers themselves, probably could care more. But we have to become more involved than we are now. And to become more involved, we have to be part of these changes, not just a tool. While we are a tool for the commissioner and the superintendent and the public, the better tools you have, the better job you can do. So we feel that improve the tools, improve the facilities, improve the opportunities, improve the officers, that this would be something that would inspire us anyway at our level. I don't know about the other levels.
Would you then, what would be a response to my statement that perhaps the situation is almost hopeless?
Oh, we can't deal with the situation in this manner. No, we
I mean
don't
improvement,
see.
Improvement of the situation.
Well, again, we have to hope. How can we work there if we don't? We have to hope that that these improvements are forthcoming. We have to hope that there is enough. There are enough people who have become more interested in our situation, and that they will put some more effort forward.
Thank you.
Bishop Broderick.
Officer, my question was very eloquently articulated by Mrs. Wadsworth and eloquently responded to by you. I was interested in hearing you say the system is a failure, but there's still some hope, maybe, for either a new system or an improvement on the old system. It must be difficult to, even at night, work in HBZ for 12 years. Did you find this dispiriting?
Oh, yes, I did, but I couldn't get out of there.
Do you find the morale of the officers low at this time?
The officers that work there?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
You did mention that the purpose, HBZ was to get inmates ready for the general population. Is this the general population of the prison, I
yes,
assume?
Yes, yes. The fact of the matter is that HBZ was used not only to cause people to think that maybe I should obey the rules in the institution, but it was also used as punishment. I mean, in some cases, if the administration felt that this man was wouldn't respond, he was put there for punishment. That's a fact. And it was up to us in this area to see that that he did conform to the rules in so far as we could.
Then my concluding observation is that, did I hear you correctly when you said that you and other correctional officers felt there should be some plan for the uprising? And you did refer it to the administration, but nothing happened?
That's correct.
Is that what I'm hearing? I thank you. That's it.
Mr. Gui, you have answered really almost when you said that the system has to be improved, but I have just two questions. Do you believe that it is fair to accuse a person without giving the person a chance to face his accuser, even if he is a criminal?
No, I don't think so. I think that if an officer... That's what you're saying. If an officer accuses an inmate of something that the officer isn't there to respond, I think that this is an inadequacy on both sides, because if I'm an officer, I should have the right to be there to respond.
Right.
And the inmate should have the right to have me respond to his particular questions. Yes.
Yes. So, which means that, of course, as the way it is now, it is very unfair to the to both parties, especially
to
the inmate, because he can't do anything about it. He can, whatever he does, goes further and further against him. Right.
Well, this is a possibility. It would depend, of course, on the case.
Now, I have another question here, which, of course, is, do you think there can be law and order without justice?
Well, of course not.
Well, this is what a lot of people ask for, you know. Just put them in jail or shut up and that will be okay. Now, this is very personal. Through all these long years working as an officer, have you ever found yourself liking some of the inmates as people, as an individual, compassionate enough to feel sorry for them because they have become criminals? And friendly enough?
Many, many, many cases, yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Lyman has a question he would like to raise at this point.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Misunderstood. Mr. Rothschild?
Mr. Gowie, you mentioned the fact that the problems of the change in administration is the liberalizing of the rules is not so much at the root of it as the fact that the enforcement is and the clarity on both the part of the correction officers and the inmates is they're not clear enough, and so that it would be better if, that the liberalizing itself isn't what bothers you. Is this a point of view that you think is generally held by correction officers? Because we've heard a lot, and I'm not trying to play games, we've heard an awful lot of correction officers say the reverse, that the liberalizing the rules really lies at the root of the problem.
Mm. I think what they mean, though, is that if we are going to have rules, then let's enforce these rules. That's mm-hmm. what they're talking about. I think most of them realize that there are many rules that if we enforce every rule, we'd have to be hypocritical.
Mm-hmm. In that same light, and I don't know quite how to ask this question, it relates to liberal. You were asked by Mr. Lyman about goon squads and whatnot. I sat in an interview of a correction officer who is a good deal younger than you are, makes him a lot younger than I am, who was discussing, I was a member of the commission that was monitoring an interview at Attica, and he felt it a day, then he had an opportunity to tell me as a member of the commission the things that he really thought were at the root of the problem. And he felt very sincerely, I think, that this was a chance to get on the record the things that he thought were terribly necessary to get on the record. And he hasn't been there as long as you do. That's why I've mentioned that, because harking back to what went before, he told me, and with great sincerity on his part, that the fact of the matter is that he believed the reinstitution of the goon squads, and I'm quoting him directly, I'm quite certain, was one of the main answers to the problems that he as a correction officer faced in Attica, which makes me, I don't know what to think, because he apparently is under the illusion they used to be. I'm fortunate enough not to have known one way or another, but it's a puzzlement. He was using it as a figure of speech?
I don't know. The very fact that every officer in the institution is being used in a particular area, a particular job, and that he is in any one of a number of different areas in the institution at any given time would have to indicate that goon squads would be impossible to begin with. Well, how a goon squad would have to be a group of men sitting down smoking cigarettes and drinking coffee, possibly playing cards, waiting for some incident to happen. No, there's no such thing as a goon squad, simply because possibly that it wouldn't be, you couldn't implement it.
The only other question I have is one of real detail, but it's just a curiosity on my part, which we also heard quite a lot from inmates, and it may be after you left HBZ. At the time I visited HBZ, the correction officers had a recorder. I don't know if this may have happened only after the incidents.
That's correct.
That's after you left?
That's after, yes.
Well, then I won't bother you with the question, because I just wondered how it was used, but that's not appropriate to you, and thank you.
Mr. Hennix?
I would like to just respond at first to the question about the goon squad. The way I saw the goon squad activated because I started very young too, at 17, and this has been quite a few years ago. They had a certain amount of officers who they could depend on, who had other responsibilities throughout the institution that could be summoned at a moment's notice. And of course, they had reputations for being able to subdue any types of disorders. But that's not my point. What I wanted to ask, how long have you been the union representative, and what are your responsibilities as a union representative?
Well, I'm not a union representative at this time. I was a steward for the union for about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm. For a year and a half. And I noticed that I think Mr. Carter did it very eloquently to express a lot of the feelings that the blacks have and the inability for, say, certain officers or the majority of the officers at Attica or other institutions like Attica to communicate with them. But if you were a representative of the union for the period of time that you were a representative of the union, it would seem to me that there's no communications even within your own ranks. Because if you worked 12 years or so in HBZ, even if it is the night shift, and you are talking to your brother officer, it would seem impossible to me for that amount of time to transpire and no mention is made of showers and how often they take showers. I mean, maybe you just didn't feel like it was your responsibility to say it.
Well, I'd like to talk about it. We just don't give showers from 11 o'clock at night until 7 o'clock in the morning.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, if, like, I'm not at my, I'm right now, I'm sitting here in Rochester, you see, and I'm a director of a program in New York City, you see. But there are ways that I know even now what's going on in New York City, you see, because I'm curious about it. And as a union representative and you representing a certain group of people, officers, it would be, I think it would be incumbent upon you to know what their jobs are and what they do so that you could adequately represent them.
Well, I think I do, and I did.
Mm-hmm. I had another question to ask you in reference to vacations. We were talking about working and men copping out to their, you know, working, say, in the steel mill or the iron mill over there, knocking out those lockers and stuff. If a man works in that steel mill, in which some men in that institution have 40 years, in which one was just in front of you to testify to, at what point do he earn a vacation?
I really don't know. I don't think that the state penal system has gone into vacations for inmates as yet. Mm-hmm. They are, as far as I know, they are thinking now of instituting some kind of a furlough system.
But you would negotiate for your union members to have vacations?
Certainly.
Uh-huh. And I asked the question simply because it seems to me we're talking about, at least the inmates there are talking about being treated like animals. And I think this is a definite indication that no consideration is given to the need for rest. 5 days a week of working, in which I'm sure they work very hard, and yet and still, so I can more or less understand a man going over to the doctor and maybe,
so
maybe
can
becoming
I didn't say,
a hypochondriac under those conditions.
Didn't say that I didn't understand it.
No, but I mean, it seems that in spite of the fact that they do this, they are subject to disciplinary action.
No, they're not.
They're not keep locked if the doctor finally tells them to get out of here and they come back?
Not as far as I know.
Well,
they have a right to go over and see the doctor if they don't feel that they are well. I don't know of any cases where a man's keep locked because he said he was sick.
No, because out of that comes other things. You know, I'm saying that if a man feels sick, I guess this is a state of mind very often.
Oh, yes.
You
sure.
See, and we can't really be sure whether a person is sick or not unless he has adequate examination. And he
I
could
don't
be,
think
he
that
could
the doctor
Ill.
Turns them away as a matter of course. I think the doctor takes some action.
Yeah.
But it would cause a doctor to be somewhat concerned with people who seem not to be ill, taking up the time that he should be spending on people who are ill. Didn't say that he didn't treat them. He does.
How is there any specific amount of time that the expenditure is open for people who, is there any time that they report to the hospital if they feel bad? Is it a certain amount of hours that they have?
Now, if you have a headache, something of that nature, yes. But if you really feel sick and insist upon going to see the doctor, you go right then.
So he do have.
We call him in at night when somebody isn't feeling well. Mm. And we have two nurses in the institution at the time. We have a registered nurse and an inmate nurse who are both very capable. Mm-hmm. And if they feel that this man warrants the doctor, he gets the doctor right then.
Yeah. I notice another thing. I believe you when you say that you are in favor of rehabilitation, not just paying lip service to it. And yet and still, it seems very strange to me that we would have ghetto blacks and Puerto Ricans come to Attica, and a job assignment that they're very often given is on the farm. And I don't know where a farm is in New York City at all. Hmm. I haven't seen one.
Well, these people that are assigned to the farm are assigned to a choice duty. Mm-hmm. You won't find too many men that are assigned to that farm that dislike their assignment.
But they can't.
As a matter of fact, the blacks and the Puerto Ricans insisted that they be assigned out on the farm in equal numbers, which they have been.
But it's not applicable to the future, what their future plans are.
Well, I don't know. It depends on the man himself. He may be planning on being a farmer. He might just want to get out in the fresh air.
Thank you.
Privileges attached to the farm, including being out in the fresh air.
Oh, yes.
I'm not sure whether that came on, but I asked you whether there were privileges attached to being on the farm, and that's what your answer to Mr.
That's correct.
Panix
there
was
are privileges attached to farm work.
Now, to clarify another subject you raised about when you go to the doctor if you have a headache, sick call is held in the morning, am I correct?
That's correct.
If a man gets a headache in the evening, do you have discretion as a correction officer to give him some aspirin?
We call the nurse over, and the nurse examines him and gives him whatever he thinks he should have.
Is this an inmate nurse, or is it a...
No, this is a civilian registered nurse.
Now, you've expressed some views on the need for more programming, more training, including training and understanding the people that you're dealing with.
That's correct.
You also have been a union steward, and you've presumably talked to a lot of correction officers at Attica. I think the public would be interested in your opinion as to whether you believe that the opinions that you expressed here today are shared by many correction officers.
Well, I believe so, yes. I think that my opinions are shared with the majority of us.
You've been under these hot lights for a long time, and I don't know whether there's anything that you've left unsaid, but as the chairman indicated, you do have a right to make a statement.
So I think that all my feelings have been pretty well covered, and that I don't think any further statement will be necessary.
We thank you very much, Mr. Goy, for being
with
us.
Thank you.